You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 22nd April. We've got local March inflation data due 10 a.m. expected 3.8%. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Chantal Marks, FNB Wealth and Investments. The AfriMat update. Yo, that second half was bit of a horror. And then I want to touch a favorite consumer discretionary stock. I mean, maybe it's a little early, maybe it's a little late, but Chantal's sure to have a good one. We're chatting with Harry Schwarzer from Future Forex. Europe, are they becoming sort of a more valuable long-term partner for South Africa after all the tariff chaos coming out of the White House? And then we'll be chatting with PwC South Africa. Family businesses typically outperforming and certainly global peers as they're achieving high double-digit returns. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb, coup as Spar lands ex-Pick and Pay boss. On these new execs, the key to fixing Spar, a whole bunch of new ones coming in. New York Times, Trump extends Iran's ceasefire just ahead of the deadline expiring. Morning markets, the US was red, S&P down 0.6 and NASDAQ off 0.4%. The East, mostly red, Sydney's down 0.2%. Tokyo's bucking the trend up 0.5%. Hong Kong, little over 1% weaker, and Tencent down 2.6%. Commodities, mostly green. The exception is gold futures, 4,778. Brent, 98.46. Platinum, 2,081. Palladium, 1,570. The Rand is 16.48. Bitcoin, 77,400. And top 40 opening call, looking for a red open, 750 points, or 0.2% lower.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Chantal Marks, Head of Research, FNB Wealth and Investments. Chantal, appreciate the early morning time. The AfriMat update. I did as everyone else in the market did because we could see the price response. This was a full year update. We went and looked at what they did in the first half. They did just over R1. Midpoint for second half. They're going to do for the full year 95 cents. H2 was a bit of a catastrophe for AfriMat. We don't know the details. We'll get that in a couple of weeks, but it was ouch.
It hurts a lot because I think even management was quite upbeat after the first half results.
Yep.
You saw the losses narrowing in cement, which is something that continued in this half, they mentioned in their very brief explanation of what happened. And then you also started seeing some positive momentum in construction materials, which persisted. So my thinking is it has to be iron ore and it has to be anthracite. And if you look at most of the guys that have spoken about AfriMat's second half, anthracite really stands out. And the reason is that anthracite is a key input in ferrochrome smelting.
Mm-hmm.
And our ferrochrome smelters were basically all on care and maintenance for the last few months of the financial year because they were in a dispute with Eskom. They couldn't economically produce ferrochrome or smelt ferrochrome with the electricity prices they were getting. That has since rectified itself, but it didn't come through in these results. And then we also had a big dip in iron ore prices. It recovered, but it would have had an impact as well.
Yeah. And when you say the ferrochrome smelters were all closed, you mean literally all of them were closed. I think every single one in the country was shut for a window there. So I want to change track. We'll get the full details. We'll have Andreas on the show in a couple of weeks when results come out. Andreas van Heerden, CEO there. We're seeing the peace in our time, and it looks like President Trump definitely wants it. It looks like he's going to continue to extend ceasefires until we finally get some peace. It is rocky. We've still got oil higher this morning at 98. Not looking great, but sort of like I think we can see a light at the end of the tunnel. It's not a train. Got me thinking about consumer discretionary stocks. Do you have a favorite?
Yes, I do have a favorite, but it's a bit of a cheat.
Okay.
I'm not going to. So my favorite consumer discretionary stock is Pepkor. Mm-hmm. And the reason I'm saying it's a cheat is because it's also got a very fast growing fintech business. And the fintech business is really what excites us about Pepkor and the way that it integrates into their retail business. So within fintech, I mean, there's lots of stuff, but one of the things that they're really pushing at the moment is consumer credit. And they're distributing that credit through the Pep and Ackermans and all of those chains. And those are names that never had credit before. But it's also a segment of the market that is underbanked and really in need of credit. Mm-hmm. And they're buying necessities. So even though it's discretionary, because you don't actually need new clothes, at some point in time, it becomes a need and not a want. School clothing and clothing for your kids as they grow. So I really like that part of the market. It's a high quality business. It's quite defensive relative to the rest. And even though things are starting to look better, and as you mentioned, peace in our time, we have no certainty around the timing with the Strait of Hormuz thing and how this is going to filter through into second round effects when it comes to inflation and eventually interest rates. So rather safe than sorry.
Yeah, but look, the peace in our time is going to be a long and rocky road, make no mistake about that. But yeah, Pepkor, that flash business. I mean, I think they sell more mobile phones than anyone else in the country. They are the largest retailer of mobile phones. It is a brilliant business sitting there. Notwithstanding, they sell clothes too, and that does well. Chantal Marks, FNB Wealth and Investments. You'll find her there as head of research. Appreciate the early morning time. That's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. Time to buy a consumer stock. Chantal says Pepkor. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Harry Schroeser. He is CEO at Future Forex. Harry, appreciate the early morning time again. Looking towards Europe, obviously we get the sort of the upsets coming out of the tariff White House conflicts around trading partners. Europe certainly, I think, trying to stand up and take some of the slack. Are we seeing deepening engagement? I mean, I'm thinking green hydrogen, critical minerals. Is there really a sort of strategic pivot, or this Europe more just sort of, I don't know, shopping for cheap?
Yeah, morning, Simon. Great to chat to you again. Look, I think it's a bit of both. I think it's a matter of they do sense desperation in South Africa with the Trump regime basically not inviting South Africa to the G20 summit and basically very openly showing that they have hostility towards our government. And so Europe are kind of picking up on, well, that gives us a good opportunity to get in a little bit cheaper. But I think on the flip side, it's definitely a good thing for us because it allows us to diversify away from our second biggest trading partner, being America, who at the moment, as I said, are very openly hostile towards us. And so it's good news that other countries in the West, in this case Germany, are happy to work with us despite our geopolitical agenda very often being against theirs, and despite America openly saying they're not keen to have us at the G20 and they're not comfortable with the way we're acting. So ultimately, I think this is a good thing for South Africa. It shows that less so about the actual deal, it's not a massive deal, and more so about the signal it shows that Europe are willing to work with us in a time where we're not making that many friends.
But I take your point. And to be clear, I mean, you know, as much as we've seen the Trump White House sort of saber rattling towards us, he's doing it towards Europe. I mean, we've all forgotten Greenland, but that was actually only about 3 months ago back at Davos. I mean, there is a realignment happening, and it would be clever and strategic for both parties to accept that and embrace it.
No, absolutely. I mean, Trump has pretty much isolated America, saying America first. And by doing so, he's basically shown that it's tough to work with America. Well, it's becoming tougher to work with America. They've always been a very, very easy nation to work with. And so you're right. This has other advantages to Europe, who basically realize they also need to diversify. I mean, if we look at the idea of how oil has currently, just to give an anecdotal point, Oil has currently skyrocketed because of the Strait of Hormuz closing, opening, closing, and now closing again. And as a result, Europe need to find alternatives to oil or alternative sources to oil. And this deal with South Africa provides these minerals, which can provide an alternative power to, for example, petrol, which requires oil. And so they're effectively diversifying away from oil. So also in terms of what we own, being the minerals, that's also hugely in demand right now with oil doing what it's doing. So you have a situation where Europe needs to diversify and they need our resources. And so this makes a hell of a lot of sense for them as well.
And this is perhaps more about those resources, those minerals, of which we have we have all of them, and we have the critical ones, the green hydrogens. I mean, we've got all of them, and Europe doesn't. More around the minerals than perhaps the and I'm thinking back to all those negotiations around whether we could call it port or champagne and the like. This is minerals more than anything.
Absolutely. And the way the deal's structured is 200 million euros is coming in as a loan in order for us to improve our infrastructure in order to be able to mine these minerals effectively. And then there's scope for another 270 million euro deal to actually have the minerals be used. So with South Africa, we've got everything we need. What we don't have is a good utilization ratio of funds. And the reason for that is that our infrastructure just isn't in the place it needs to be. So I'm happy to see this 200 million euro loan, but I really, really hope that we can use it to improve our ports, improve our railroads, and improve our electricity, because these are the infrastructure, the large infrastructure products that projects that have for ages stalled us in our growth.
Yeah. And we need to get this working because, I mean, to be clear, Europe is not just talking to us. I mean, they're having this conversation with many other countries. I was going to say around the continent, truthfully, across the world. We need to grab it. We've got the door open. We need to deliver to make sure it's us and not somebody else.
Yeah, look, I mean, the good news is there's been a lot of renewed growth in South Africa. We're off the grey list. We've got the GNU who've provided some stability. We've had rand strengthening. So I think the signs are positive in South Africa that we can actually grab this opportunity. But you're 100% right. If we let it falter, they're not going to sit around and wait for us. They're ultimately going to go elsewhere.
Yeah, they want those minerals. They will find them. We have them. Let's hope that we can do it right. And certainly, we have the opportunity. This is a very possible, very real. We'll leave it there. Harry Schoza, he is CEO at Future Forex. Appreciate the early morning time. Let your money benefit from experience with StanLib Asset Management. Find out about StanLib Global Select Fund, which follows an investment discipline that has delivered results for three decades.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting with Lucia Bach, Southern Africa Family Business Director at PwC South Africa. The PwC's South African Family Business Survey just come out. Lucia, appreciate the time. Family businesses are big business, and a number I always know, but I'm always a little astounded when I see it. You talk around sort of 2/3 of global GDP, 60% of jobs. This is coming from family businesses.
Simon, good day to you and your listeners. Yes, that's actually the United Nations that gives us those stats. And from South African perspective, we're about 20 to 30% for GDP in South Africa and also around 60% of job creation. And very interesting, around 60% of the listed entities on the JSE started out as family businesses.
I suppose so. I hadn't thought of that, of course. And then they grow. But we are much smaller of our GDP. Is that structural to our economy? Is it just that we have some really, really large companies relative to the economy? What's the story there? Because I would imagine that gives us a lot of opportunity.
Definitely, family businesses got a huge opportunity, and it's actually the backbone of our South African economy. I think we also just have a number of large players contributing to the GDP, but I think there's definitely room for family businesses to add more to the economy.
Yeah, and I imagine a lot of it is mining, and I imagine there's not much sort of giant-sized mining within the family business space. If we delve into some of the key areas that sort of drive success, one of them you talk around is agility, ability to streamline decision-making, and about half say that they're either agile or very agile, and this is hugely important, particularly for a family business, which is obviously often smaller than the sort of large mega caps.
Yeah, and I think, Simon, with family businesses being able to pivot with purpose in the difficult landscape that we find ourselves in, it's actually vital to be able to explore and innovate new products, new services, new technologies, enter new markets, engage in strategic partnerships. And that's where we've seen that the South African family businesses has actually outperformed their global peers based on being agile in those areas.
And it talks to, I mean, you know, it's more than just courage. This is actual process. This, and you talk around in the report how, you know, it starts at the board level. It's process that enables this.
Yeah, no, definitely. So starting at the board level, what we've seen is where there's clear decision roles and authority being delegated, but also vital is that the board start looking more forward than at the day-to-day operations of the business and spend their focus on the future.
Yeah, I get that. And then it's the evolving, you know, businesses survive because they're evolving. So around deploying long-term capital, particularly you mentioned uncertainty locally, it's a global phenomenon. In fact, one of my guests yesterday was talking about we've had six global crises, 5 and 6 years, and it's sort of become the norm. Only around 1 in 4 of South African family businesses really are focusing on the long term. And that really is a bit of a shortfall. We need to sort of worry about more than, yeah, the next week and month is important, but the next 5 and 10 years also.
Exactly. And what we've seen is that the South African businesses is lagging behind their global peers, specifically on patient capital, which is actually strange because that's what family businesses are known for, is their patient capital. But like you've alluded to it, it's definitely the uncertainty in the market. But I think the uncertainty has almost become the norm in South Africa and family businesses needs to move past that and start focusing more on the future growth opportunities than just spending the time on the core operations.
I get that. And also, I mean, one of the top numbers from the survey was 37% of South African family firms report double-digit sales. That is impressive. That is undoubtedly an impressive number. It also says that maybe they're kind of saying, well, hang on, we're doing pretty well in really, really tough conditions. We can almost, I don't know, sit back on our laurels. Never a great idea, but it's not the worst. There is good growth happening in the space.
Yeah, that's definitely true, Simon. And we've seen that on that front that the South African family businesses outperformed their global peers, who's actually down from 43% 2 years ago to only 25% double-digit growth.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so that is actually quite phenomenal. And to your point that maybe they are too relaxed and only focusing on the here and the now, that we're going to see a change in 5 or 10 years' time if they don't start shifting gears and changing their focus on the long-term opportunities.
Yeah, again, it's back to that evolving. There's also a lot around, and I've chatted around this before, around protecting, leveraging reputation, being understood as a broader family, as a broader business. How are we doing in that? Because that is something which can be viewed skeptically from the outside, but it's actually very important.
That is a key asset for family businesses and also a driver of growth, more than just a legacy. And this is one area where the South African businesses have outperformed our global peers with putting back into our communities, with 80% investing in our communities through philanthropy, but not only just cash donations, but actually getting involved, active partnerships with schools, with local enterprises, definitely putting back into the community and in that sense, build trust with their clients, the employees and the greater community, which is actually a key driver for growth.
I like that. It's more than just the post, it's the actual doing. It's the sort of rolling up the sleeves. And as you say, a driver of growth. We'll leave it there. Lucia Bach, South African Family Business Director, PwC South Africa. Appreciate the time. That's it for today. We're chatting with Pirtle Ratenhouse yesterday. Here, of course, Herenia Capital Advisors. Talking software stocks. They've been sold off over vibe coding fears. And my question to him was, surely there's some opportunity here. And he concurred. And there are a couple we talked on. There's also the ETF, IGV, which trades in New York, which is focused on software. We asked you if there was opportunity. Over half said yes, great value. A third said nope, sector is in trouble. The rest said no. Not just yet. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobuchle, Nicole Sabu, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us a positive rating and an awesome review in your podcatcher of choice. And we'll chat again tomorrow, understanding a fund's fact sheet.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.